All right, everyone. We are back. This is going to be a tough episode for us here at Inside City Limits. One of the lowest points that I feel like we've had as a fan base in quite a while. The worst team in the league are pretty damn close to it. Spank us 2-0 at their half-empty stadium. No energy on the ball offensively. We still can't score a goal. It's been three straight games. I know that we'll have a lot to talk about, but we had Jack's apology last week, and I think we have another apology this week, this time from Trevor.
I don't know whether to be mad or sad or depressed at that game, but I do have to apologize to Wallum because I said last recap that he wasn't impressing me. And his work with Celio in this game was probably the only bright spot in the whole 90 minutes. So I apologize. I'd like to see him in the starting 11 from here on out. He did a good job, and I was wrong.
Best player on the pitch for us last night.
Besides Celio.
Well, Hualan played all 90.
Well, that's not Celio's fault. Sully would have had two goals, I bet you, in like the 80th.
The switch up is crazy, Mike.
I said I was sorry to Wallum. I want to see him in the starting 11 from here on out. He showed a lot this past game, and yeah, his work going forward was really well, and it's just a shame we couldn't put one past that horrid defense that SKC has. It's frustrating now. What was it? Are we past 300 minutes now not having scored? I can't remember. I know it was like 270. They mentioned it one time yesterday. We got to figure something out. Once again, none of our strikers did anything, hardly had any shots. The ball was falling to us in the 18 and we couldn't connect. It just, I'm angry. I think I'm angry. I'm also depressed. Is there a word for being angry and depressed at the same time? Anybody?
Would the Germans have a word?
I bet it's a word in a different language, but English doesn't have a word. I'm so pissed.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't scored since Leuven's free kick against Seattle, and that feels like a lifetime ago.
That was like at the 15th minute of that game, too.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we scored, and watching those chances hit the post, fly over the bar, Morales had a really good shot that was just maybe a foot too high. Mm-hmm. It's just... You know, it's really, really, really starting to hurt a little bit.
And with the Hartel had a upper 90 miss by like 3 inches, man.
We had chances. And like when you saw something like Ostrock came in the 26th and got going forward really well. Wallum and Pompey were going forward really well. I think the adjustment was actually made by Olaf this game going forward. We couldn't finish the chances. And then when you don't finish your chances and you're on the road and it's a rivalry match, it comes back to bite you. And we were texting halfway through the game. This just seems like one of those games that you're going to lose 1-0 because you can't finish your chances. And as soon as they get one, that's game over. And that's exactly what happened. And they got another one late. And they had the leading scorer from last year, right? Jovalich, wasn't he the leading scorer last year? And we just left him one-on-one a couple times late. And you just can't do that in those tight games. It was good to see the offense going forward, getting chances. But I mean, you have to score on this team. They've given up 12 goals this year in 6 games, and you can't put one pass, especially with the chances you had. I know we're down, guys, but it's just frustrating.
I think Benteke was the golden boot winner last year.
Was it? Was Jovalich maybe just the... Maybe they're talking about most playoff goals or something. They said something on the podcast. Yeah, anyway, he's the most dangerous player on the pitch. We left him open, so it's cool.
The second one was a bad hop, in all fairness.
Yeah, the first one, though, he was on an island with Kessler. Agree. Yeah, there's... And then I think that's a tough one to say for one-on-one, but I think he was a little bit too close to that near post because it wasn't even side netting when he got a pass, but you can't expect him to make those saves. I don't think Lunt played too terribly bad. He wasn't really tested too much. He made a good save early on, and then he hesitated on a ball in the second half, and then of course they got the two late. The defense was fine till it wasn't late in the game, and it cost us because we couldn't score.
And that's what I think pisses me off is I can understand if, like, you know, you're playing a team like City's back line and they've given up, you know, three or four goals all season and you never really get any chances, but to see you get clear 1v1s with the goalie or to be in behind and, like, it just, I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I felt like there was multiple times that either Klaus or Hartel or somebody was dribbling upfield. They had multiple people making runs forward and they either just held onto the ball a touch too long or, you know, held it up and started possessing around the back. But I was so frustrated at the stadium because there was multiple times where you could just take, you know, maybe one touch and a through ball and they just never connected besides the three big misses. It's just so frustrating to see those opportunities and then a post or, you know, shooting it right into the goalie's chest like FIFA. I mean, it was infuriating.
I will say I've never felt my heart drop more during a regular season game than when I watched Wallum's chance bounce off the post.
Oh, that one was close. And then one went off Watts' shin too, right there in front of net. Like, even if he doesn't see it coming, it should deflect off of him in the goal. He's so close to the net. How does that not bounce? Wallum, crazy. Like, oh my God, that was a crazy play. It was a good ball in by Klaus and Wallum just puts it far side, beats the goalie and, yeah, post out pretty solid. It just, yeah, you score there, then you can sit back and play this defense that they want to. Yeah, that was frustrating. Wallum had a great game. It's frustrating. Wallum had a great game. It's just frustrating. This team. I will go bald watching this team. Klaus, the one that Cole, what you were saying is we had these breaks going down the field and it was the wrong decision. Klaus got caught from behind on one where it was a 3-on-2 yeah. And he could have gone left or right. And instead he took one more touch, gets the ball dispossessed by a great defensive play but you know, begs for a foul and then they get going the other way. Like that did happen two or three times. It's just like, why is there no decisive pass? Like why are we pausing when we're going down the field? One-on-one. You see these guys that have talent and that can go one-on-one like Pompeo, Wallum. We've seen Klaus do it plenty of times the last 2 years. Like, what's the disconnect right now? Is it because we have this formation that doesn't allow them to have space? But there was space out there to give. I think it was just quality on the ball. And I don't know, maybe they just weren't ready for the moment and they just made wrong decisions. And Pulskamp made a couple decent saves there. There was one that he trapped with his leg that was probably going far corner that I don't know how he got it. So you have bad bounces going your way and you get hesitant with the ball. I don't know what it is. They need to fix it because if you're losing 2-0 to this team, you're not going to win another game for a while.
Yeah. And the schedule ahead is nothing to look over. I mean, we've got next week's Columbus. They haven't lost a game.
Great.
And then it's Vancouver. They're winning the West. And then I know they had a rough start season, but then it's LAFC. I actually don't have LAFC lost. I think they've lost, actually. They probably lost like half their games. Anyways, it's not an easy schedule moving forward. And losing 2-0 to this team is just, I mean, it's just, I don't even know what to say. It's bad. That's what it is. It's bad.
LAFC has lost their last two. They lost last week 1-0 to Houston. They are 8th in the West.
Above us.
Yeah. Yeah. We are now 10th in the West. Sporting with their first win moves up from 15th to 14th. And it was their first win of the season.
I went back and looked. I was taking so many notes because I knew that I was going to want to come back and look at these because I was so pissed off. My hands were freezing trying to type all this shit out. There was a Klaus run in the 61st. I think that was on the right-hand side. It was near up me. And he's 1v1 with the defender. He's got someone making a run inside. And instead of playing it behind or playing it to anyone, he tried to do a little flick around and, you know, run behind the defender. Didn't work. Hartel on the left to Celio. He was streaking by the touchline, nothing. And then, like Trevor mentioned, I think it was the 80th when Klaus had that slide tackle that stopped the run. But I don't know. Especially when you're down, it's get the ball off your foot, get it in behind in space and see what happens. That's how they scored their first goal on the other end. It's just, it was just so frustrating to watch. Is there anyone besides like a Wallum, a Celio that you guys thought stood out? I mean, Klaus had a low rating, but I thought that he did well, obviously not scoring or putting chances on, but I thought he did a good job of, you know, the physicality and holding up the play to try to find people. I don't think they were successful in those connections, but like, I thought he played better than what the rating said.
Yeah, I think his rating is just because of some of the times he was dispossessed, but he did dish out pretty well. I'd like to give a shout out. I think I shouted him out a little bit earlier. When Oshrock came in the 26th, he seemed to be getting forward pretty good, and him, Wallum, and Pompeo and Hartel were kind of our focuses of our offense going forward. I think he played well, and it's hard, probably hard for him to come in the 26th, probably not mentally ready yet. But that's really the only other person. This is definitely one of Kessler's down games. He still played solid, but they had a back four, which was interesting. I think he does better in the central, like in a central position.
I've got somebody, and I think you guys know who I'm going to say. Kyle Hubert had a fantastic game.
He won
both of his duels. He never got dribbled past. He was pretty accurate with his passes. If I look it up real quick, he had 90% on his passes. I mean, he played great.
Yeah, I mean, I never even really noticed him doing too much, which I'm perfectly fine with that from a center back. You know what I mean?
That's the best thing you could say about a defender.
Yeah. My pick is going to be, I thought Oshrock played pretty well when he came in for, who we guess it, injured Nilsson.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah,
we got to talk about that. Nilsson, we joke about this, about how he can never stay healthy. At this point, if this is a long-term injury, he needs to be removed, and we need to allocate that money to somebody else. Because he plays. Just don't re-sign
him. Anywhere.
Like, he doesn't play. He doesn't play, and we're just wasting money on him. So as soon as his contract runs out, no matter how good he's played on the field, he averages like 3 games a season. We just can't have someone do that. I don't think he's a bad player. And if he could stay healthy, I mean, you've seen the defense the last 4 or 5 games he's played. We hardly give up any goals. And when we do, it's just it's 1 goal a game. But he doesn't play. And once again, the same knee, he is down. And I'm guessing either Foot Mob's going to say late April or the full season.
I mean, we don't even know what it is. We can't really talk bad about him right now. I mean, he plays great when he plays. I'll admit he's had quite a bit of injuries rack up over the last 3 years, but if you can't get rid of him for something, and at this point, who's really going to buy him off of us or trade for him, then what's the point? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Just don't re-sign him. Like, you have Hebert, who has played great in the center for us. Yarrow's played fine in the center. You already have Kessler, and you got Bumgarnel, who might be a striker, might be a center back. We don't know. But Nilsson doesn't play for us, so why not? Don't re-sign him and use that money for somebody on the attacking front at this point. Because he doesn't play. Like I'm not saying he's bad. I like when he's in there. But when he does, like, he doesn't play. So why spend the money on him?
I mean, he's got, what, a year or two left on his contract?
His is up next year, so he'll be with us through 2026.
Maybe it's nothing. I'm just riled up because we joke about this almost every episode, even when he doesn't play, about, oh, it's an injury, it's probably Nilsson. It's just a running joke. And once again, 25th minute, he goes down and we have to burn an early sub on a bench that's already too short. We had to change the whole formation because of it.
Yeah, I'm with Trevor on that. I mean, he's, what, our fourth or fifth highest paid player. You get him for a handful of games a season. I know it's going to be near impossible. No one's going to want a 32-year-old center back with hamstring issues. But he, for what we're paying him, we're not getting the return you expect from top 5 paid player on your team. You could say that about, I think, all 5 besides Berkey as of right now. But at some point, you have to look past the coach. And we got to start looking at the front office because this team is not built well.
before we changed the subject on Nilsson, I looked it up. Anyone have a guess on how many games that he's played in? Not started, just played in?
So I know that
this season or total?
The first season he hardly played any. Last season he played, I was thinking he played almost like, I think he's played 20 games in the last, before this year. So I'd say 24.
He's played 30 total.
Is it less than a season?
Mike? No hints.
41?
Did Jack Google it? Because it's definitely 30 games.
Is 30 exactly?
Well, I figured
he got hurt in the first half of the first season. And I knew he played about half of last year. I mean, I couldn't remember the exact numbers. And then a couple games this year.
So less than a full season from him?
So on like full matches, probably like 40% of the games, right?
It's less than 30%. He hasn't played a full season yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Well, if you count, like, you know, cup games.
Yeah. And it'll depend on the severity of this MLS injury.
Regular season.
Yeah, so that's not counting cup. And we were in the... Okay. We were in the first year, we were in Open Cup and Leagues Cup, right? And then last year was just Leagues Cup.
In the playoffs.
And then the playoffs, yeah. Was he in those playoff games? I think he was, wasn't he?
He played one game in the 23 playoffs.
But anyways, I mean, so what? You let him walk next year. And then what? I mean,
then Hebert or Yarrow or Bumgarner takes his place.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm with Trevor. I'm about to that point.
You get Hebert.
It's crazy. This is like your Wallum switch up.
I've never been against Hebert. You just glazed the shit out of Hebert.
I think we could listen back to some of these podcasts.
My only problem with Hebert is he went to a school that I dislike. And a country that right now sucks at the only sport they're good at.
If you're going to hate, you got to be a hater. Saying. You can't switch up the first sign that the tides are turned.
I've not been against Kyle Hebert. I just think you're over-glazing Kyle Hebert.
Mike, can I get some backup here?
Come on. When have I been like against Kyle Hebert? Jack just thinks Hebert's...
The first 3 weeks of the season, you were mad that he was even playing.
That first game, I was mad.
He got me.
No, the second game it wasn't because Hebert had a good first game. I think Hebert excels as a center back more than a left back. He had a good game here at left back, but they were in a four back system. I think he does really well as a center back. And if you have him and you have Yarrow and you have Kessler and you have Bumgarner on the bench, there's no need for Nilsson. And we're gonna see it.
I think he's played left back better than Wallum has this year.
Well, obviously, now we're seeing Wallum is not a left back. Wallum shouldn't be on that defensive line. Like we saw last week, we were like, the last two games were kind of like, Wallum's playing farther up the pitch. He's a midfielder now. That's interesting. He's definitely belongs there compared to being a left back. The only thing Wallum has on Hebert might be just speed. But when you watch him defensively, Hebert's definitely a better defender. But I really think with the people you have on the roster, your center back is not your issue. Obviously, it's the strikers and or attacking midfielders and health, obviously. But, like, you get that money off the books on Nilsson, you can go after a striker. You can get somebody like a Jovalich. I mean, Jovalich, what'd they say he was making? $4 million? How much is Nilsson making? Half that? But if you, you know...
Fourth of that.
He's only making like $1 million.
It's not like $1.8 million. He's our highest paid.
Well, get rid of them both if you're asking me.
I'm saying it's like the front office. We're not competitive salary wise.
No, we have an empty DP slot. A DP slot, excuse me, and our DPs that we do have either don't want to play or can't score. Or I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. I'm getting riled up.
I'm with Trevor. I think that, you know what they say, fellas, the best ability is availability, and you just can't count on him to play. I think that, you know, I'm not a huge Hebert guy like Jack, but let him get some minutes, let Bumgarner get some minutes. I don't know. And we could say all this, and he could be out for a week and then be back. Like, so I don't know. I don't want to overreact, but if it is a long-term thing, then I think you just rip the Band-Aid off and you move on.
I mean, when Reed comes back, that's solved, right? Move Hebert back to center, back, throw a read out on the wing. I think Nielsen needs to go.
It's time to go.
Exactly.
Okay, but I don't know. I'm just, you know, when I was looking at the roster last night, Horn's loan is up in June.
Right.
So they should be coming back by then, though. Yeah, but Horn plays as player center back.
Yeah, but you can move Hebert inside because Hebert's done very well as center back.
We saw like what, 5 games of Reed. Are you guys really ready to just give him that starting spot?
I think he played more than 5. He played almost all year last year, didn't he?
No.
On that left side, really? Was it really only 5 games?
He did not appear that often. I'm not ready to give it to him, but
I think he played really well
in June. Betcher up in June. Do we see a reason to keep any of those guys around?
I could see him keeping both of them just because of the injuries piling up. I don't know. If you're going to place Toy Shirt as a striker and you have Klaus as well, there's no reason to keep Betcher unless he's producing, which he isn't. Not that anybody else is. But
I just want to say Reed played less games than Nielsen last year.
12 games.
Yeah, but this is the start of the year. Yeah, he didn't get moved up till halfway through the year.
I just thought it was funny.
I would like to know how many games he played at that position once we moved him up. Like, how many games were there, and how many times did he play in those games once he was on the roster? Because we didn't move him up till, I mean, it had to be May or it probably was June.
He got 7 starts.
Because I remember when he came up and I was like, who the hell is this guy? And then we actually watched him in person, his first game. I was like, well, why the hell was this guy on City 2 this whole time? He looked really good.
It's obviously very different, but that's kind of how I felt. And I saw some people on Twitter or X saying this, that like, why was Celio on the bench for the first 6 games? Like, why didn't he get a look?
He snapped his ankle in half. Okay.
Well, I know, but he's been training a lot. Like,
it'll heal.
I think that once he gets to full fitness, which hopefully he is pretty close, I think if he's at full fitness yesterday, you give him a full 90. Because he was, him and Wallum, like we said, were the only two bright spots in this lineup. And it was just so.
Just a little side note I want to add in while we were talking about the loans. Blom's loan is up in June, too.
Probably need him back. We don't have any midfielders.
I would love him back.
I think Kaiser have the option to buy, but I don't know how he's played or anything like that for him. But that'd be a nice mid-season addition.
He's not coming back.
Absolutely. No, he's not. It'd be nice.
I mean, Cardinal's out. I know.
I mean, it feels like Durkin's done for the year almost. I don't want to say that, but
it'll probably say late April for Foot Mob. I can check
it. Foot Mob has him at early June.
Early June. Oh.
Horn till early May. Oops. Everyone else is.
Is the early June thing real, or are you making that up?
No, I'm reading on Foot Mob right now. It says early June.
It was an MCL issue, wasn't it? It wasn't.
Yeah, but they didn't come out and say it was a tear, so. Could be as simple as he strained it or something.
If that's the case, until Leuven's back, that center mid where I thought we were so locked in with Durkin, Edu, Martel, like I feel like that's a little bit more of a question mark than we thought it would be going into the season.
Yeah, Morales played well in that Edu role, but I think you could really go ahead.
I'm sorry. Blum's played 18 of the 24 games for Kaiser.
Pretty good.
I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, he's staying there for sure.
Morales played good in that Leuven role. I just think what you really miss is Leuven's offloading and free kick ability, which all went to pretty much Hartel this time, which is fine. But I think that's the only thing we're missing from Leuven, just his sense on the ball and how to get the pace going. But he's done well, but we're thin now with Durkin and him out, and we just can't score. I don't know. I think that's why if you're looking to cut some payroll, Nielsen was my first to go.
I thought our midfield did very good at creating chances last night. I don't think we missed that part of Leuven at all. I mean, I think we missed someone
mainly
to
the free kicks, I think.
Yeah. Hartel does serviceable. You know, he's it's not like Leuven where you walk every time he walks up, it could go in. But I thought our offense obviously came from the midfield, which is what I've been asking for. You know, that Wallum and Pompeo, put that in ink from now on. Those two need to play together at all times. I don't know how that's going to work with the formation, other than moving Celio or Wallamo to a striker spot, but they need to be on the pitch at all times.
Celio does such a good job on the wing. I always was thinking, I was like, what if you moved Celio towards like an interior striker spot, kind of like how we do with Toy Shirt? You know, he floats outside, but he also plays. But like you were saying, Wallum and him were doing so much work down that left side that I'd rather take him out wide. The only problem is we don't play a formation that usually allows players to get that far. Like we don't really have traditional wingers. They did go to wingers after Nielsen's out. We went to a four at the back and Ostrock came in, and that's when you saw all the success with Pompeo and Wallum down the side. So maybe we're looking at a formation change soon, especially if we're down a center back. But something's got to change, whether it's the formation or just the people you're starting. When we saw the starting lineup come out, I was actually pretty happy with it, because I was talking about on the last episode, I want to see Celio in there. I want to see attacking-minded players. And it worked out. We just couldn't finish. When Ostrock came in, we really got the ball going forward. Just, you got to bury these chances, because if not, it'll come back to haunt you. You'll lose games, especially on the road, especially against a rival.
I really liked the 4-4-2. I would like to see us commit and stay with that formation. I thought it played really well. Celio and Wallum and Hebert all on the left. I thought it was a very dangerous attack.
Don't throw Hebert in there.
Hebert was in there. That's the thing. I mean, you guys can hate all you want, but Hebert was definitely involved in some of those attacks. Let me look at the stats. Actual long balls, 2 of 5, 2 long balls, 6 passes into the final third. I mean,
were they completed passes?
He had 90% pass completion, so at least 4 or 5 of them probably were.
Pretty good. The 4-4-2 I liked as well going forward. The only problem is, as we saw late in the game, it can really put your center backs on an island, and that's
your
how problems scored
on the right. Yarrow and Watts were terrible.
They were bad. Terrible. I think most of his issues were getting the ball out of the back as much as just his defensive play. Like, I don't think his defensive play was too bad, but he would get stuck in that corner a couple times and either give it up, kick it out of bounds, or try to play that channel ball down the side, and it went nowhere. Watts, I mean, I could spend 30 minutes complaining. You are 2 feet from the net. How do you not, as a professional, I don't care how fast that ball is coming or where it's bouncing, you got to put that away. There was a couple of times when we would have a really good attack, Watts would get the ball in the final third or even the 18-yard box and would lose it or just do the wrong. He didn't have it. He didn't have it. He didn't have the decision-making. He didn't have the quality on the ball. Just terrible. That whole right side was getting beat up, which is weird because if you look at the other side with from Sporting Kansas City, their best attackers are all down their right side. But Hebert and Nielsen for a little bit, and then when they slid over Kessler, they handled that pretty good. But that right side mainly wasn't too bad defensively, but all their issues were on the ball.
I think other than Berkey, Totland is the player we're missing the most. I don't think we have any depth on that right side.
Totland's also going to give you 90 too. So like, you don't even have to worry about him out there sub-wise. So you can really play with the subs based on the scoreline. So you're correct. We're missing him big time. And Berkey for sure is number one.
I thought it would have been Leuven, but like Mike said earlier, Morales is, I think the 2 games we've seen him, he's played outstanding. It's just the Totland, I would like credit. I think I said it in the second or third pod. There's nobody else that can play even near as well as he's played.
You're saying me? Oh, I think Hebert should play on that right side instead of Watts. But is what I was, The problem is, but then it's like, who you put on the left side, because you don't have Horn, and we've seen what Wallum can do in the midfield, so you don't want to put him back there. So I think this back four, back five is probably going to be pretty similar. Maybe you'll have Bumgarner getting starts there from where Nielsen was if they don't change the formation. But hopefully Totland can come back. The problem with those hamstrings is just like they can always flare back up. But you're correct on missing Berkey being the number one. Lunt's been serviceable, and he's even been pretty good, you know, kind of compared to what we thought was going to happen. But there's a couple last night where Berkey's so good at reading the balls coming in at him, and he's so good at playing out with his feet. And there's a couple times defenders would have to turn around and play that channel ball instead of playing back in close quarters with Lunt. And then when they do, Lunt's usually just booting it, you know, all the way out to a wing, and we're trying to win a 50-50 ball. So we need them both back. And I said, let's tread water till they come back, but obviously it's not working. We're drowning, and I don't know if there's a quick fix.
Going back to the right side, Yarrow, I was glad to see him in the lineup, but I thought that he was pretty rough. I think there was one or two times he came in and stopped an attack, but I wrote in my notes that it felt like at least three times that he had his attacker completely behind him. Like the ball would get played behind him and there would be so much open space. Like I just felt like he marking the Sporting players and positioning, like he just was not on his best game. Totland, once we have Totland and if we can figure out what to do with that left back wing, whether it's Wallum or Reed, I think those wing backs and bringing balance to the attack and not just going up the left side with Wallum and Celio and kind of spreading the pitch, I think will go a long way.
Yeah, I think Olaf's made it clear Yarrow is the fifth center back off the bench. And now last two games, he's really played like it. I thought he played really well the first game against Colorado. I'm like, oh, I want to see some more Yarrow this year. But we're now in a position where he has to play with Horn out and Nielsen out probably a week or two. And I don't know. The strengths we had at the beginning of the year, we're missing, and our attack never caught up. It's just not looking good for us.
It's pretty crazy how quickly you go from, I would love to see more Yarrow, to, man, I wish we didn't have to play Yarrow.
Yeah. You love seeing Yarrow come on in the second half after like a 2-0 lead, and you're like, yeah, Josh Yarrow time, hell yeah. But you don't want him starting in Kansas City on a derby day, for sure.
Because he has to, because everybody else is hurt.
Oh, was it you saying that Yarrow's a big locker room guy? Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, well, he can stay in the locker room.
I think that's that was good. I think that's the only reason that he didn't get drafted was because they wanted to keep him around just for, like, the culture. I think it's very telling that he was the only player to speak to the media after the game on Saturday. They probably had a tough time getting anyone to volunteer for that. So I think he just like took it upon himself. And he even said in the presser, like, I know we talked about the front office, but he was like, the coaches did everything that they can. He's like, eventually it's on us. So I think that it's kind of nice to hear them taking accountability as well. That's not going to put the ball in the back of the net, but it's, you know, it's kind of refreshing to hear that from a player after a performance like that.
Did you guys see the social media post with Yarrow when they were trying to get him to pronounce Gothie Street?
Mm-mm. Oh, I did see that
for like a minute.
Yeah, that was funny. That was good. They kept cutting back to him almost every other time, and he was still just staring at the phone.
In between all the Germans getting mad at the pronunciation, it's just staring at it.
Oh, it's French. He's pronounced like this. No. It's like, why? It's French. Why would you say that?
Speaking of the center backs, before we move on to whatever we're going to talk about next, if we have Horn out, we have Nielsen out, does that mean that against Columbus we finally see Bumgarner? I mean, I don't understand what the issue is there.
I'd like to hear your guys' take on Bumgarner if we're talking about Nielsen's availability and wasting money.
Well, I think
he's played 10 minutes.
I haven't seen him. I don't even know. I don't know.
Oh, but well, the best ability, I thought, was the availability.
That's what Mike said earlier. It's
injuries. He can't even get on the fucking field.
Did you guys hear that one? It doesn't matter because it's injuries, but you know, Nielsen doesn't get that.
No, I mean, I'm saying the availability comment. No, listen, I say the availability comment is because Nielsen always gets on the field for 20 minutes and gets fucking injured. Baumgartel can't even get onto the field. It's not his fault. Okay. His manager won't pick
it's okay. It's okay if you don't play, but if you do play and then get hurt,
you get hurt. I guess.
I mean, you'd rather pay someone $1 million to not play than pay someone $1 million to go play and all of that get hurt. That's what you're telling me.
What are we doing?
Well, I mean, Baumgartel could play.
Nielsen now can't play. I am just pointing out your guys' lack of consistency when it comes to our
play. I don't think it's not the same thing because Baumgartel now can play. Nielsen cannot play.
Where is he?
It's a coach's decision. Ask Olaf, man.
Then he's not good enough.
This is what I'm saying. What Mike was saying earlier about this has to be on the front office too. Why bring in a center back in Baumgartel that isn't making it? Why is he not getting on the field? What? So we're wasting money. Like, it's the same on wasting money because you brought someone in that's not seeing any playing time, and we don't have a reason why, and we haven't even seen him enough to even have a opinion on his play. Why are we bringing these guys in that aren't playing? It was just same last year. There's a couple positions where we needed somebody brought in. We bring them in. We either don't see them a lot, they don't produce, and they're gone right away, or they just sit on the bench forever.
I don't know why you guys are so excited to see this center back that Olaf obviously does not want to play.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, doesn't he have like 10,000 Bundesliga minutes? Wasn't that the whole thing of him coming in here was?
Yeah.
And, oh man, I'm blanking. What was that right back's name
from last year?
What was it?
No, from last year, the right back from last year that didn't play.
They didn't play, and we shipped him out halfway through.
Dyer.
I mean, you know, how many of those are we going to give Lutz before we start really questioning his decision making? Because this is the second one.
He's talking about this 5-year plan, and year one looked great, and we took everybody by storm. But the last 2 years, I feel like there hasn't been any good decisions. I mean, bringing Hartel in has seemed to really work out. Wallum early on has been working out. Kessler, fantastic trade. We don't talk enough about that on the good side. But besides those three, I can't think of anything that's worked out so far in the last 2 years. It was a big step to trade Parker away for Kessler, and it was definitely a head scratcher at the time, but now we're seeing the benefits. But I mean, yeah, last year with Dyer, this year with Baumgartel, and maybe it'll turn around. Getting Betcher on loan looked good last year for those 10-game stretch, but this year him and Toyshirt both are struggling. Klaus can't score in 30 games. Why is he still holding one of our DP slots?
Yeah, but nobody's scoring.
That's true. Nobody's scoring. I think it's on the formation and the players as well, but I don't know. You're paying a guy that much money, he's got to score once in 30 games.
I mean, I saw JGR on the bench. You guys didn't mention him. That's another guy that they signed last year. Did he even play a game?
It was late last year, and he only got in a handful of games towards the end. And then apparently he was battling
an expensive transfer too, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was battling an injury in training camp too this year. So Mike's 100% correct. Like, some of these decisions are definitely
How long of a leash is Lutz getting? I've seen, and I think this is unfair, but I have seen a lot of people saying, oh, we made a mistake with Olaf. We should have kept around Hackworth. We should have kept Carnell. But, you know, they got to play the people that they're given. And Lutz hasn't made the right decisions every single time.
I think Olaf is a good coach, and these last couple of games, it's tough. He's also working with, you know, a lot of injuries and stuff like that, but he always talks about, he says the right things. He's always talking about play to the player's strengths, and he doesn't usually play five at the back, but this is what he's, you know, the cards he's been dealt, this is what he's been given. I'm sure his leash is shorter than Lutz, and Lutz said it's a 5-year plan. So maybe it turns around this year, or, you know, years four or five. He says, you know, we want to be in a championship window. This is before the first inaugural season even started. We want to be in that championship window, you know, four to five years in. So maybe after that 5 years is when it's no longer.
Was part of the year 5 year plan to fire your coach a year and a half in? And they got rid of Carnell. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it's like, no, I get it. I think his leash is definitely longer though than Olaf's. And then
we've got six injuries. You get 30 people on your roster, so we're missing 20% of our roster. And
that's why I don't think it's as much on Olaf right now, just because of these injuries and stuff. One quick side note for you guys, real quick. The Cardinals were up 4-2 going into the ninth and lost to the Red Sox 5-4. It happened just now. Walk-off home run for the Red Sox. So pretty nice. Walk-off double. Sorry.
Baseball sucks, you guys. Do you guys think that we would be in a better spot if we had Carnell right now with this roster?
No.
Oh, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying they talked about the 5 year plan, but did it say in the notes year 1 and 1.5 fire your head coach?
The biggest question I have about the coaching, Cole, is not did we go wrong with Carnell? Is should we have kept Hack on? We looked really good at the end of last year.
Yeah, that last 10-game stretch when we had Toyshirt coming in and Hartel coming in, six wins in the last 10, wasn't it? Five or six? Not many losses. It was, and they were scoring, and they were scoring a lot. You know, 3-4-goal games like we saw in the inaugural season. So I definitely think there's an argument to have kept Hack on instead of bringing Olaf in.
I hate seeing, as like as a fucking Tottenham fan, it happens every time. If the coach sucks after five games, people want their head and they want a change. It's like I you got to give him some runway, but I don't know. I don't know if it's the coach, if it's the players, the front office. I don't know what it is, but something has got to change. I mean, if they can't score on a team with 1.6 games, I mean, this season's going to be a tough one to watch.
Look, I agree. The Olaf out stuff I've been seeing, way too early. You know, it's been a handful of games. You got to let him try to build what he's trying to build. People often, for the first season, ruined it. People forget this is an expansion team. This is the third year in the history of the team. We should be more competitive than we have been last year and the start of this year. But we're, you know, this isn't a team that, look at the payroll. I mean, look at the, we're Trevor said Kansas City's paying their striker $4 million. We're paying the best goalkeeper in the league $1.5 million. You know, this isn't, it's still an expansion team. It's the only year three in the history of the club. You know, we don't even really have an identity of who we want to be.
Real quickly, a injury update on Nielsen is right now per Foot Mob, it's just a knock, and he's day to day. So I'm thinking you'll probably miss him next week, and he should be back out there. It's just weird when you see him go down and not be able to continue. It just be a knock, you know. The leash I would put on Olaf this year is by. I think these talks definitely are unfair to Mike's point on, you know, removing him this early, seven games in. He's got a half-injured team. But if it's August and you have Berkey back, you have Alm back, you have Nielsen back, you have Reed back, you have Horn back, you have Totlin back, you got these guys back, and you're still, you know, losing to Sporting Kansas City 2-0, getting a lot of draws, not getting a lot of goals, then we can really start talking about, and this is if there's no formations or no injuries coming up, but like, then the talk can start, because then you're having, you know, you're past the halfway mark, you're into cup play and stuff like this. We'll see how he manages, you know, getting guys rest when these cup games start coming up. Then you can start talking about it, but I definitely think it is unfair early on here. And this formation works when it comes to, you know, defensively. We are still the least amount of goals given up in the MLS and we have lost three games in a row. So I think around July, August, depending on the team's form, is when we could actually start saying, you know, this needs to happen.
I was driving back to my hotel after the game last night, and I FaceTimed Lexi because I hadn't really talked to her all night, and was just venting about how shitty the game was and how bad they looked and everything. And I was like, you know, I just don't know if this new coach is the guy. Like, you know, they just can't score. They look so bad. And Lexi, who doesn't give a shit, was like, didn't he just get there? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. It's just to see no glimpse of offense besides one game against LA Galaxy, who they won the title last year, but they've sucked this year. So, like, this could have been the game that they come out, they score. Like, if Wallum puts that chance in the back of the net early, that could have been a 2-3-0 game, and the vibes would have been so high, and it would have been like, all right, that's the turnaround this team needed, and it just went the complete opposite direction. Let's see. Anything else? I mean, we saw the most useless subs of all time in the second half, Betcher and Toyshirt. You guys said before we started recording that you barely even noticed Toyshirt came on except for the post-game picture that he was in. Like, just nothing.
Yeah. Boy, sure. I didn't even know he was out there. He didn't do anything. And same with Betcher. Betcher, I noticed, was out there, but he couldn't get on the end of anything. Had a couple of turnovers, had a couple of bad decisions. Just, you know, a 5-6. He came in the 65th, so he had time to get involved in the game. And then Ostrock was the only sub that did well, but he came on so early, didn't even feel like a sub. We didn't use two of our subs, but we also had a short bench. I guess one of the things would have been, like, why didn't Bumgarner come in and just for Nielsen, so you didn't have to do a formation change. I did like the Ostrock sub, but Betcher and Toyshirt, just nothing. And even when we were down 2-0, just there was no fight after that second goal.
Not only did Betcher come in for 30 minutes and do nothing, he took off the best player. Celio was playing better than anybody else on the field. Maybe not Wallum, but them together, they were unstoppable. And then you take Celio off and you replace him with Betcher, who, I said it 2 weeks ago, doesn't do anything.
My biggest gripe, and I think you guys will agree with this, with Olaf this year, is he, at the start of the year, he did say he's gonna sub people out because he wants fresh legs. He has not subbed well at all this whole year. Fresh legs, important, right? The first two games, he takes off our best player, Luvin, for Morales, who Morales has played well. And then, like Jack just said, he took off Celio and Wallum, only people contributing to our offense for up to those 60 minutes. Everything was going through them, and they were making chance after chance. Puts on Betcher, and Betcher just does nothing. Yeah, his subs have been awful all year, and I get the one for fresh legs, but from what we saw last night, I would rather have 40% Celio than 100% Betcher out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have fresh legs out on the right where our defense is getting eviscerated than have fresh legs and lose our best attacker. I have to fully agree. I think there's a way to get fresh legs without taking off your players that are actually making an impact. We had, like Trevor said, we had Bumgarner on the bench. Wenzel, JGR, they were on the bench. That Zielinski kid they drafted was on the bench. I mean, they had options to sub out some of the defenders that were, I mean, they played okay. They didn't play their normal great selves. So taking Celio off for Betcher just to get fresh legs was...
And Morales for Toyshirt? Like, so you're telling me... I know Celio is hurt. He probably is on a minute count right now. You know, he probably can't go past certain minutes. But you're telling me Morales needs to come off, but Watts can stay on all 90? It doesn't track for me.
Absolutely. I said the same thing. I know they'll say it's a fitness thing, but I, even in the stadium, I was like, what are you doing? Why are they taking Celio off the pitch? But yeah, like you said, I get it. I just sent you guys that video. I guess after this we can get into the guessing game recap and we can sign off. But did you guys see after the final whistle when I can't remember who it was on KC, they were like, you know, celebrating, talking shit Davis. In front of fans. Davis, yeah, and Toy Shirt. Yeah, literally, I was standing up, I was about to leave. Toy Shirt just zoomed across the pitch and immediately ran up and kind of got in their face, and it caused a little scrum. I didn't know like how much the broadcast talked about that or if they showed it at all.
No, they're pretty much already done and all. Like, to be honest, as soon as the whistle blew, I turned it off. But on the rewatch, they didn't really get into it too much. I mean, we've seen this before with Kansas City, and it's their first win of the year. They probably their only win of the year, so they're really celebrating. And I like Toy Shirt going over and doing that because it just means he cares. But if we care this much and we don't want them to be celebrating after the game, maybe don't lose 2-0. Maybe, you know, play through some of your knocks, actually finish your chances, and we won't have to see this shit anymore. The next game is big, and hopefully now that these guys, is their first derby, you know, like some of these guys haven't been on the team that long, maybe now they'll realize how important this game is to the fans and they'll start playing better. But yes, the Sporting Kansas City. Davis, I've never liked. He's done this before. He just is a wine bag, and he's a big baby. Just don't lose next time so they can cry while they're on the way off our pitch. I don't know. It's stupid, but that's just what this game means to people, and it happens.
There was a lot of empty seats. A lot of tickets still left open. They couldn't even fill their supporters section that was like 2K capacity. So, but that's the Stocker Capital, guys. We got to remember that. We can't fill our stadium for a derby match.
They beat us, man.
I know, but that's all I have. That's all I have.
Their whole section could have been empty, and it wouldn't change that.
All we have is that they can't fill the stadium because we played like dog shit. What else am I supposed to say?
Just don't lose the next one so we can have a better episode after. That's all I can say. They are like, I'm watching your video now. They're, you know, pumping up the crowd and stuff. That's just going to happen. And I think the frustration is coming from St. Louis because they can't score. And, you know, Toyshirt didn't play the whole game. I can see why there's a frustration. Just if you don't want them to celebrate in their home stadium, don't lose to them.
I mean, that's what I want out of the rivalry is things like that to happen. You know, that's what you want. But we can't lose games to teams that are so much obviously worse. One of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, that's not a manufactured rivalry. That's for sure. It's not like Mizzou, Arkansas. Dude, it's like a legit rivalry, and we need to start winning so they can get mad at us when we're cheering our supporter section on. It felt like Kansas City was playing like it's a, you know, their whole season on the line, and we were playing another regular season game.
Like every time we play.
Yeah.
It never feels like we have the urgency to win that they do.
Even I remember getting pissed off in the second half, even down a goal. They have the ball at their feet and they're just kicking it along the back line and nobody's moving or making runs. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? We're just standing here. Like, somebody do something. Okay. This is the end of the vent session. Anybody else have any other notes before we go to the guessing game recap? We're good?
Do we even have to do a recap?
I mean, it's a quick recap. Nobody scored any points. We were all wrong on the score.
Maybe we'll start a countdown for Betcher's loan.
Yeah, nobody scored any points.
We'll have to do another apology.
We will need a... I almost thought Jack was going to start this by taking away his Betcher apology, but we're still apologetic for now.
I had to apologize.
I was out of line. I can get the next one. I was out of line, but I'm just saying he's proving me right. He's not proving me wrong.
All right. Well, we can sign off. Nobody scored any points. We were all wrong. This team might suck. We don't really know, but we will see you guys next week before the Columbus match. And as always, let's go City.